It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guy.
Welcome and good morning. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Or if this is your first time, buckle up, because here we go. It's time for some just plain old summer grilling. If you don't have your grill out and fired up, we may have to clip your man card. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's right, Jop. Welcome. Thank you. Good morning, Conrad. Thanks
Good morning.
For coming
Barbecue
in to help us.
Bob. Yes.
Thanks for helping us get this train wreck on the tracks.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just plain old summer grilling is, you know, we always try and come up with these themes and, you know, what's going to be special. And I think right now we tend to cover a lot of really unique and strange things. Last week was a ton of fun with Brad Ensing from Garrett's. You know, more things you can eat out of the lake than you'd ever imagine.
Yeah, right.
But I just think it's kind of a day for a cleanup job, and there's just things that maybe we covered, you know, for 15 years, 14 years now,
right.
But maybe the people listening now weren't listening to those shows, and maybe there's something they're struggling with. Just like when I was tuning up my brother-in-law, you know, it's like I would have never thought he, you know, wanted help, because he's my older brother, right?
Right.
Brother-in-law, but he's like the closest relative I have in all actuality, and I would never want to disrespect him by, you know, claiming any sort of superior mindset or anything. And then he just
I don't said, think there's a lot of risk in that, really. I'm just saying.
Well, you know what I'm saying, trying to show respect, and
sure.
I have a lot of respect for him, and so you got a guy like that that you hold in high esteem, and he finally says, hey, I need help with steak. It's like, oh man, who needs help with a burger? Who needs help with a this and that. So that's a long way of saying this is a cleanup show.
Yeah.
We're raking the backyard right now.
Yep. Yep, exactly. So you've been doing a lot of grilling already? I mean,
yeah.
I have. Mine's 5 nights a week right now. You know, our pool is turned the heater on Wednesday, finally.
Yeah.
I mean, the forecast was finally never wasn't going to get below like 55 degrees at night, because you're pouring your money away when you heat during the day, and then it gets at 50 at night.
I know.
And sucks it right back
I
out
know.
Of there. So, but so we've not been in. I had one of my son's buddies came over last Saturday, and we got the pool ready. It's clean, right? And we had the top off it, and because I just vacuumed it again, whatever. And he comes in just being a smarty, like, you know, he was, and he took the big dive right in there, and he come up, and he's like, whoa! You know, cause it was like 60 degrees still, you know, and you get down in the deeper end, right? It's even colder than that. But
yeah,
it was funny to watch. And I'm like, hey, you didn't ask. I mean, it looked like it was open. Well, it's open. It's just not warm.
Conrad, that reminds me of the song where the trucker's talking about where my women sing soprano.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's Alan Jackson.
There you go. Yeah. Great song.
Yeah.
I knew he'd come up with it.
Well, yeah, he's a professional when it comes to that
it's
stuff.
It's like having right. a computer right here at our
yeah.
desk.
Yeah, so I've been doing a lot of chicken. We're trying to eat a little bit healthier. You know, everybody wants that swimsuit body for the summer. I should have started a lot earlier than I did. But been doing a lot of skinless, boneless chicken thighs. And a real go-to for us has been there is a it's a finishing sauce. I use it as a marinade. It's a brand called Mr. Yoshida, but basically
oh, yeah.
it's a sweet teriyaki
yeah.
type thing.
You mentioned it before.
Right. And my family loves it. And I just wanted to share that because it is super easy. You know,
sell it?
I don't think so. I get it online. I don't really know where else to get it, but I ordered it online. But I went to Sobeys and got skinless, boneless thighs. And they're trimmed so beautifully when you get them from there. You don't even have to do anything for them. So literally, put as many of them as you want to serve in a Ziploc bag, pour on some of that stuff, zip it up, and throw it in the fridge. An hour to overnight works just fine. It doesn't over-marinate. There's no acid in it. It's kind of a sweet teriyaki thing. You take them
out. Mix it around a little bit before you put it in the fridge.
Yeah, exactly.
And he sells – I get those – thighs in 10-pound bags.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is perfect for a lot of events.
Right.
And so you've already got it in the bag. You just pour whatever you're going to marinate in.
Right. And if that's too much for you, those things, if you've got a vac sealer, they hold really well in the freezer. You know, just suck the air off them and put them, zip it up and throw them in there. And I put them in like 6 thigh packages. When I buy a 10-pounder like that, I'll bust them up into 6 of pieces so that when you pull them out, we just got enough for dinner. So
I smoked all day yesterday, did about 10 butts, and I wrapped them about, I'm going to say 7 o'clock, and they were done by 10. So I've got them parked in a couple of 5-day coolers right now.
Yep.
They're at 195. They were 195 this morning.
Yeah.
So I'm taking them down to a big event down the street. We do a pig roast every year, and I've told you this before, but my wife's cousin's husband does it. And he always had his son-in-law doing a hog. And I watched
so
this
much
poor
work.
Kid. He's in his 40s now, but he would stay up all night trying to keep that pig cooking.
Right.
And it was never done.
Right.
So
so hard.
Finally,
yeah.
5, 6, 7 years ago, I said, why don't you just let me do half of the barbecue for you and show you the difference. Mine will be gone before yours will. And he goes, well, I don't know. And then he calls me up a week later. He goes, why don't you just do the whole thing?
Yeah, right.
So I've been doing it for him every year.
Yep.
This is the last of the Bomarito Butler pig roast.
So let me tell you something that I heard this week, which made me grin. There's a caterer that we both know, and he was doing the same thing you are. They wanted a pig roast, boy.
Yeah.
So you know what he did is he went to the butcher shop where the hogs are slaughtered and bought the head. And he threw it in the smoker when he was smoking the shoulders, right? And then he just set it on the table and then put a big tray of the pulled shoulders.
Why not?
Right behind it.
Why not?
Everybody loved it. They got the effect. And
it must have been a big hog. It had 8 shoulders.
You're right, yeah. But he said he paid $7 for the head. And I'm like, well, there you go. If it's all part of the presentation, I said, I never would have thought of that. But
isn't that what they make head cheese from?
Well, sure. That's not the cheese I put on my sandwich. I can tell you that right now.
Hank Jr. had the whole pig in the ground, and you guys have always told me that that's not the way to do it.
Well, not in Michigan because the ground is.
Oh, I love doing that.
Yeah, but when he was in Hawaii.
I've never told you that.
When he was in Hawaii, he did those all the time. It's hard to do in Michigan because the ground's hard. You know, it's not like you can dig an easy hole.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good try.
Yeah.
You just gave the wimpiest excuse for not doing the Lua pig I've ever heard.
It's just a lot of work.
Okay, other than that.
Yeah. Don't you wrap it in banana leaves? A little hard to get those, too. Right.
Well,
yeah.
you can substitute.
Yeah.
Tobacco leaves.
I'm good with the smoker and just throwing the shoulders on. And if you don't like it, you know, you
can
take
like
a pass.
Seems like a lot of hassle. Though.
Well,
a lot of people like smoked pork shoulder.
You do have to learn over time or have somebody give you a few tips.
Yep.
Because by the time you're ready to eat, you'll want to get that thing out of the ground.
Yeah.
And you got to remember to have something underneath it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I'm sure there is tricks, but it's not a very popular way to
do
it.
They use chicken wire.
Yeah. Well, that just holds them together, right?
You lift it up and out. Underneath it.
Yeah. It'll lift it up.
Yeah. A couple of layers of that. But so I have been having lawnmower struggles for a couple of years, and that thing just killed me forever. And I bought a used John Deere 285, the old school, real frame, all this stuff. And I took it to the John Deere dealer down in Hastings. He's cleaned up my carburetor. It's running like a champ.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, I have never had so much fun mowing my lawn in my life. It steers better. It rides better. It climbs my hills. It's I don't know why I waited.
It's a tank, right?
It is.
Well, you only, 50 years you waited? But you got the right one now. That's all that matters.
You never cleaned out the carburetor?
I bought it. The guy had an issue with it, and I said, I'll figure it out. And I cleaned the carb, and it ran for a while, but then it started giving me trouble again. I thought,
Take it
to the John Deere dealer.
Yep. So coming up next, we've been putting together summer parties, and they're all starting to be implemented right now. Bob's got a big one this weekend. I got one on Monday. And we're going to share a little bit of the recipe ideas that we've done for these catering events. Bob's has got 250. Mine's going to be about 100 people on Monday afternoon.
Sharing is caring.
Yeah, sharing is caring. So if you're interested in some easy-to-do barbecue appetizers and meals, You're going to like this next segment. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
Now hit me.
Oh, yeah. The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, it's the, you know, it's time, it's summer. We're here. I think it probably starts next Friday or something, that 20th, 21st is the summer solstice, I think they call it. But at the end of the day, it's summer at my backyard, and we've been grilling and chilling for a lot of times already. So just wanted to talk a little bit about some easy, fun stuff when people drop in that you could put together. So, you know, where are you going with that, Bob?
Now, back to the John Deere.
Right,
see?
Yeah, right.
Well, we used to do some events at Dark Horse. And
it's in Marshall.
We got
Brewery.
To meet up with a fella named Mad Jack, and
right.
he's come up here for events and just a great guy. And he was famous for making porchetta. And it's a pork belly and a pork loin with a bunch of great spices. And it's kind of a cool process. But I think the best part was just hanging out, watching that thing go around the rotisserie.
Right.
You know, because it's so, it's like, you know, that rotisserie machine I gave you, that portable one.
Yep.
When we used to take those to shows, we would literally just put Hillshire sausage, pre-smoked sausages, and vegetables on them and make, you know, long skewers full of real basic stuff. And we'd have a line that was like 50 feet long, 50 to 100 people at any point in time waiting in line for a little taste of that basic Eckrich sausage.
Yeah, right.
It's the view.
Right, it's the process.
It
yep.
is.
Yep.
So this porchetta makes that same effect, and you're... You know, if you get a pork belly.
No, this was the one with the skin on.
Yes.
And you're going to have to go to your butcher like Sobey
yeah.
to get that. They aren't carried very many places.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Then he in fact, I talked to him. I had to give him some warning. It took him a week to get them because they're a special order item. But you certainly can get them. They're available at the butcher shops. But he has to go to his supplier and ask for them because the skin is still on it.
So since the skin's on it, yeah, unless you just kill your own hogs, which is you could – go up to somebody like Sages in Greenville who slaughters hogs, and they always have them too.
Sure. But
anyway, so this, we're not smoking it. We're roasting it on a rotisserie. So when you score it, you take like your favorite really sharp knife and you go across that skin in a crisscross diamond pattern. And just like you do with a ham when you're doing Rob Russell's Best Ham Ever recipe, it's the same deal. You're just scoring down about maybe a quarter inch. And then you're also going to butterfly a pork loin. And if you've never butterflied a pork loin, it's really a pork chop, you know, without the bone on it. But look up a video on how to butterfly any kind of loin. It's the same process, probably the same knife, medium butcher knife, very sharp. And then you start on an angle going into the thing, and you keep opening it up, and you're unrolling it so it'll be like a pinwheel when you're done.
Right, and so you've got two pieces of meat that you're going to be marrying together. One is the pork belly with the skin on, and the other is the pork loin. You're going to get two pieces of meat from the butcher, and now Bob's going through the preparation process. So the belly, you said you score the skin side, and,
yep.
and there's going to be a bunch
and
of seasonings on
yes,
it.
Yes, and you're gonna score it, and then you're gonna put a bunch of this rub on the outside as well, then flip it over, and put this rub on the inside.
Right.
And then I'm unsure. You were talking about some fresh fennel.
Yeah, there's a, and you know what? We'll post the recipe on the Grilling Guys. Mad Jack won't care.
Yeah.
And you can go on to grillingguys.com and get the details of this. But basically what you're doing is you're marrying these two meats together. There's a flavor profile that we're doing to put it together. And then it's trussed together. Once you butterfly that loin, you season it, and then you roll it right back up. And then you're wrapping that belly around it and trussing it with butcher's twine. Okay, you're going to run a skewer down the middle, and you're going to put it on an offset fire, right? On your, so if your charcoal grill or your gas grill, but mostly a charcoal grill is what this is for, is you're going to set the fire not directly under the roast, but off to the side, because you want a drip pan under it, because that belly is going to render.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't want that hitting your coals, because you'll get huge flare-ups.
Yep.
Right? And so basically, you're going to catch those drippings.
So you could do like maybe 3 or 4 bread pans, if you had some old bread pans.
Yeah, right.
Might be a good way to do it.
Right. And because that belly is going to render, there's a lot of fat on there, mm-hmm. and as it continues to heat up, and you want it to do that, because the idea is when it's all done, that pork belly with the skin on is going to be crispy. And there's technique here. You're going to be putting some additional salt on it throughout the cook and things. And Mad Jack's tip was just, you know, it's done when you can snap it with your fingernail and it's hard. You know, it clicks, if he said, if you will. Then you'll know that that's done. Because
down in the Carolinas, they'll do hogs skin down like that, and they'll score them and salt them.
Right.
But that's where the term cracklings comes
from.
That's
exactly right. And that's what you're looking for, because at the end of the day, when you serve it, you're going to take it apart. You're going to cut that belly up with that crisped up skin on the outside, those cracklings. You're going to cut that up, and then you're going to do slices of the loin, right? And you're going to make a little sandwich on it, and you're going to sprinkle some of those cracklings on top of that slice of loin, put it on a nice, like, ciabatta bread. Oh, my gosh. Is that good?
So I'm thinking you could also, and I'm doing one tomorrow for my family.
Right.
So I'm going to practice before we do it for your event Monday. So this rub has salt, and they recommend kosher salt, chili flakes, which I use a ton of, fennel seeds toasted, rosemary toasted. My cousin... We got toasted rosemary, black pepper, lemon zest, and he's saying it's going to be several pounds of kosher salt and several pounds of fennel seed. So that's a lot of fennel.
Right, and it's fennel. It is.
But fennel is a mild herb. It's really a wonderful flavor.
Right.
It reminds me of like an acorn.
And he's using the seeds and the tops. So you got to go buy. Fennel is a bulb that has a long stalky top on it. And you want to use the tops in this. And again, we'll put the recipe on thegrillingguys.com, because there is a little bit to do with this. This is not a slap it together. You're gonna spend a few minutes putting this thing together, but I'm telling you, it's worth it. They are so good.
And I'm thinking when you get this whole thing off, if you had, like I've got this big, long, it's almost a bread knife, and I use it for my brisket sometimes if I want to cut across the whole thing. I'm thinking a big, long, thin blade like that, and maybe what I'm going to try tomorrow is just shaving off slices of it so everybody gets the full pinwheel.
It all depends what you want to do with it when it's done, if you're going to serve it like a steak or put it on a sandwich or whatever you want to do. Sure. So we went down that road. I got a quick one for you, an easy little one. We talked about skinless, boneless chicken thighs. You can marinate them in anything you like. I talked about the Mr. Yoshida. Cut them in thin strips. Slide them onto a skewer and cook them like that. They're turned into like chicken satay. And then there's a peanut butter. You can look this up online. A satay sauce. You can go buy a peanut butter sauce in the store. But that teriyaki.
I don't know that I've ever had that.
That teriyaki with the combination of the peanut sauce is a fantastic flavor combination. Super easy
that
to do.
That sounds like a Chinese combination.
Yeah, I don't know. You probably should get the sauce in an Asian market, certainly,
uh-huh.
but it might be in the big box store too. I don't know.
And
but
you called it a satay?
Chicken satay. And it's just thigh on a skewer. All right, Conrad's doing jumping jacks over there. I guess we're at the end of the segment. Dang so it. Coming up next, we're going to continue this mayhem and talk more about good stuff to eat. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rig.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We went down a porchetta trail on that last segment.
But the John Deere.
Right.
Simple
minds,
I was going to,
simple guys. You got it.
I was going to talk about the Chuck Jerky because when I used to visit Rob Russell, he'd take me to his favorite butcher shop, and this guy made jerky out of chuck roast. And I think it was probably about the most tender, beautiful jerky. And we'd always go there when he was pulling it off the smoker. And I'm telling you, if you've ever made jerky, and if you have some, like me, some chuck roasts, or get them in the freezer, or get them on sale or whatever, it's an inexpensive, wonderful protein. And if you just cut it in like, half-inch strips and marinate it, I'm telling you, if you've got any way to smoke it or indirect grill it, just low and slow with some smoke, that's a party favor. And I made some for the party today. So
yeah. Sounds good. Yeah, and it's cheap jerky meat. You go to the butcher shop and buy jerky, it's double what a meat stick is now. It's just because the quality of the meat that Sobey uses in his jerky is wonderful. And It's approaching $20 a pound now for fresh made jerky in the butcher store. It's worth it. He's got that hillbilly jerky that's amazing.
And I think they usually use flank steak for that, don't they?
I don't know exactly what cuts he
uses. Yeah, a lot of guys do that. They'll use flank steak because it's got those long strands of muscle, and they'll cut it along with the grain, so you get a chunk of meat that you can actually tear on and get stuck in your teeth when you have to do that.
So another popular summer cook on the smoker is a brisket. There's a lot of people that are afraid of brisket. I was when I first started cooking. I had to learn because I was putting $70, $80 at risk every time I threw it on the grill, right? And I had to learn how to do it, and you can too. Bob is much better at it than I am. There's a little bit of a touch to it, and it all comes down to you've got about a 6-inch thick piece of meat on one end and about a 2-inch thick piece of meat on the other, and it's all connected together. And trying to get that all done right at the same time and not overcook one or undercook the other is a challenge.
Yeah.
But once you get a brisket done, it is fabulous. And Bob, I'll let you talk a little bit about how to do it if you want to, but I'm going to talk about a recipe because for this party that we're throwing for my work on Monday, Bob is going to cook the brisket for it, but we're going to make something out of it once we get it cooked and get it to the event.
That sounds good.
And what we're going to do is really simple. We're going to make little brisket crostinis. And so I'm going to get a full loaf of French bread, cut it on the bias and on across the loaf on a diagonal. We're going to put a little garlic olive oil and some salt on that bread and then grill it just to get grill marks on it, right? We're going to use the hot gas grill. We're going to grill those toasts off for maybe a minute, okay, just to get a little crispy on one side. Okay, so we're going to make a big pan of those. And then what we're going to do is cut off little thin pieces of brisket and put it on top of that piece of toast, and then in...
Like shaved prime rib, kind of?
Right, yeah, as thin as we can get it. Brisket doesn't cut real thin when it's done properly because it's so tender.
Mm-hmm.
But with just little thin pieces of it. And then what we thought we'd do, just to speed it up a little bit, is there is a kind of a whipped white cheese in your dairy counter called Alouette. And it has a garlic...
You love that stuff.
I do. It's a garlic and chive... It's a garlic and chive flavor profile.
It's wonderful.
We'll put a little dollop
of that.
It's
like a whipped cream cheese,
yes,
I think.
It is. And we're going to put a little dollop of that on top of there. And then I have a chive plant at home, which is like in a 16-inch bucket, and that thing is flourishing right now.
This sounds like a Chef Jeff idea.
And, so we're going to dice up those chives and sprinkle it on top. So it's really simple. You got a piece of toast, you got a piece of brisket, some Alouette cheese, and some chives.
You put the Alouette on the toast, though, right?
Right. I'm going to put it on top of the brisket because I want it to sit up a little bit. I thought if I put it under, the heat from the brisket might melt it, and it might be messy.
Oh,
right? So it's just because I'm serving them as a handheld appetizer, you know, a bite or two is what we're looking for on that. So, but anyway, those four ingredients, Jeff Dewey is a friend of ours. He's an excellent caterer. And Jeff said, in addition to the chives, if we wanted to color it up a little bit, he said maybe we could get some chopped sun-dried tomatoes and chop those up into little bits and just sprinkle those on top to give it a little.
You want to do them in little bits because they're tough little buggers.
Right, yeah, exactly. And that's why I said chop them. But anyway, easy little recipe if you're making a brisket, just something to do to bring it out in the front end of the meal,
sure,
rather than make it the star or the center of the plate.
That kind of ties in with the next thing on the show plan, and I put this on because when I was in Old World Olive Company a week or two ago, I noticed they had these little cans of seasoning,
yep,
for dipping,
yeah,
for your bread and,
yeah,
oil.
Right.
And I got the garlic one.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they had like six different ones.
Oh, I know, but you and I both gravitate to garlic.
Well,
a lot.
It's
perfect. We love it. Yeah.
So if you take your favorite oil, and they have so many variations of oil. I like the harissa myself an awful lot. I use that on my eggs, but and then take some of this dust and put it on the oil, and then finally shave some aged Parmesan,
mm-hmm,
and you put that on a plate, and then you toast up the same thing, some crostinis, some nice little baguettes or something,
right,
that'll give you those nice little pieces of bread. You have friends over, and the food's going slow on the grill, and they're not, you know, everybody's dying to eat. Throw some of that out there and watch the seagulls go after it, because
right,
you better be ready to reload because it is addicting. And it reminds me of like when one of our favorite restaurants first opened and my kids all worked there as waiters and waitresses, the Flat River Grill.
Oh, yeah.
And
been a while since I've been there.
They always put bread and oil on your plate, and there was seasonings in it. They didn't put cheese, but they would if you asked. And people would come in, and as soon as they took their drink order, the first thing they'd say is, can we have some of that free bread?
Yeah.
And my kids instantly started rolling their eyes after a while because it's like, you're going to get your bread, seagull. Calm down.
Yeah, right. Yep, exactly.
But people love that stuff. So I found a cool YouTube video of a guy that I follow, and I can't think of his name right now, but he was, you know, I think we've all had at one time or another one of those hamburger presses. It's the Tupperware thing, and you put hamburger in it, and you press it down, and you pull it up, and you got a perfect burger. Well, he had one of those, and he made it a little bigger than I might because he made a couple quarter pounders with those. I think if you did a little less than that, so you're not serving somebody a half-pound burger, it might be,
right,
they might be able to finish it. But then he put some aged howdah in there, and then he did the bacon wrap weave, and he set it on that, wrapped it up, and he smoked it.
Okay, so is the bacon wrap between the patties
no,
or around the
no,
outside?
No, he wrapped the whole thing. So he put these two patties together, put cheese in the middle, and then wrapped it in bacon and smoked it. And I'm telling you, I'm hungry right now remembering what
okay,
that looked
so he
like.
Smoked it.
I think Conrad's ready for a burger.
Oh, right.
Oh, man,
I was
that sounds
ask
really
you,
good.
If you grill that, that's going to take a while to get that burger done through the bacon. But
yeah,
if you smoke it, you got that time.
Right.
Right.
And then when you're done, I'm thinking, depending on the texture of the bacon, you might want to flash that on your grill for a minute.
Yeah.
Just to crisp it up. But I don't know. The way he did it, that thing was gorgeous. What a presentation. And it was like an inch thick.
Yeah. Little, maybe you could cut that in half and serve it to two people because that's a lot of meat,
yeah,
right?
And, you actually could.
But the cheese in the middle, I mean, that's when you know it'd be done, right? If that cheese is melted in the middle, then that's money.
What's our baker friend's name over in Easttown? Bakery?
Wealthy Street and Hall Street Bakeries.
Yeah.
Both of them, yep. They own both of them.
So we'll have to get them to make us some nice Kaisers and try that out, because you want a kind of a tough bun if you're going to do a big old piece of protein like that. Yep.
They got a really nice ciabatta bread that would work on that too, because it's a little heartier, you know, a little pull to the crust and firmer. But both of those will work, and we'll have those for the event on Monday as well.
Nice.
I'll be getting those. So.
Nice.
But anyway, yeah, so it's a there's a lot going on in this summer, and we're just getting heated up.
Isn't
man.
It funny how many times we go back to steak and burgers, though?
Yeah. Well, it's you know.
They're so easy.
So my wife now is in the season of inviting people over. And
really?
she's asking them on what they want, and then I get the orders, right? So we'll talk a little bit about that coming up. But Yarlis, the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
If you're feeling hungry and you want something to eat, make yourself a list and head on down to Sobe Meats, where our staff is always friendly and they all know our creed. Come on down to Sobeys and let us meet your needs. We have kielbasa, kapusta, chicken, pork, and beef. Seafood and hot sticks, a snack that can't be beat. Dairy and deli, groceries, beer, and wine. And once you shop at Sobeys, you'll shop there all the time.
Hi, this is Tim Sobe from Sobe Meats. Please stop by to see Teresa and myself and the whole gang for good old-fashioned service at 3450 Remembrance Road. Make sure you visit SobeMeats.com for our specials, and thank you for your support.
So when you're feeling hungry and you want something to eat, make yourself a list and head on down to Sobe Meats. And if you're really satisfied, there's one way we can tell. When you leave the store, make sure you ring our bell.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grillin' Guys. It is just plain old summer grilling today, and we've been down some rabbit trails, although none of the recipes had rabbit in them, so I don't know how that works.
You know, we're talking about all these proteins, but, you know, your body has to process all this food, and our pal Conrad here is in need of a kidney, and I think we need to spend just a minute. Not a mention at the last of the show, not a, oh yeah, don't forget to buy a thermopen. No, this is our main man here, and he's got a dire medical situation. He needs a kidney. What kind of blood do you have?
O positive.
Does it have to be an O positive donation?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You positive?
No, I'm not positive. No, my
oh,
kidney.
I am.
Yeah. I think that blood has to match up like that too.
Yep.
But anyway, this guy is a vital part of our community and a friend, and you know, you might have a chance to step up and help somebody out here.
Right.
God gave you two.
Right.
Yep. So you could share one. Thank you.
Yep. So
thank you, Bob.
So I don't know what blood type I am. Is that something you could get if you had blood drawn from your physician?
I don't think he's going to want your kidneys.
Well, no. I'm pretty used up, but yeah. It's been filtering stuff out of my body.
As bad as mine.
I mean, right. Yeah.
I'm AB negative.
Yeah. I don't know what that means.
It's like alien blood.
Yeah. Oh, AB, alien blood.
It's pretty rare.
It is extremely rare.
Is O positive rare? Or?
Yeah, O positive's like, I don't know, 20%, 15% of the population.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know if you guys had heard that my son Harry has the same polycystic kidney disease I have. And earlier this year, Ben donated him a kidney. Ben's my other son.
His brother.
Yeah, so
he doesn't have that condition.
No, he doesn't have it at all. So anyway, everybody just needs one.
Yeah.
But thanks, guys. And how you transition to barbecue from this anyway?
Well, you have to digest, and you know, I mean, that's
a vital part
of your body. And I mean, more than anything, I just don't want my buddy getting deathly ill.
Right.
Thanks.
So one of the quintessential things for the summer grill is a steak on the Barbie, right? And sometimes your grill's not in good shape. You came out of the winter, maybe you didn't clean it, you got some rust.
Or maybe it's never been any good.
Right.
But you just can't really buy a new one right now.
Right, yep.
Because times are a little tough.
Right. So let's talk about this technique that would help for a weak grill, and that's that reverse sear.
Yeah, and what made me think of that is, again, cooking at my brother-in-law's place. He's got I'm going to say it came from Sam's Club.
Okay.
Now, this guy has plenty of money. He could buy anything, but...
It's where your priorities are.
Well, it's what guys do is we get into the shopping mode instead of, hey, you know, I'm really want to have this Bentley in my garage. They're going, yeah, I'm just going to buy a used Yugo. So yeah. He's got this Benchmark, X-Mark, or whatever they call their stuff at Sam's Club. And it's it did a decent job. I cooked on it several times, and I wasn't complaining. But I noticed, like, the left side had some pretty wild and crazy flames. So that means the burner tubes are going out, right?
Right.
And sometimes those big box grills are hard to get parts for.
Sure.
So let's say you've got that situation and you have to do some steaks. Well, you can still use that side, or you can not. What you're going to do with indirect grilling is you're going to turn one side of the grill on and keep the other side on low or off, okay, depending on what temperature and all this stuff. Everybody's got their own issues with their grills, or know their hot spots and the cold spots. They also have a certain way they want their steak cooked, or want it maybe seared, or don't need it seared. They want it bloody. However you like it, there's ways you can move that stuff around the grill if you have issues with your grill like that. And if you do have a burner that's out of control like that, maybe it'll burn okay on low. And if it will, I would tell you to go to your favorite grill shop and get something that they call a smoke box. And it's going to be a little steel box, and you're going to put wood chips in it. And when you're doing a steak, and I've got several of these things. I never use them.
That was going to be my next question.
I have a smoker.
Right.
But you just put that on the crappy burner and maybe put your other burners on low, or flip it around however you want. But indirect grilling just means that you're going to shut the lid and primary heat is going to be away from the meat. So...
steaks on the left, heat's on the right, or vice versa.
Yeah, and some people like to do a little bit of heat under the steak when they're indirect grilling. Some people want none, and they just want to take forever and just let the smoke do it. That's fine, too.
Right.
It's still going to get up to whatever temperature it'll be able to achieve based on, you know, ambient. So I'm not going to figure your delta here, okay?
Okay, yeah.
But... that's indirect grilling, and if you have...
And then the thing that's indirect, and then the reverse sear, that term reverse sear means you're going to put it on the high heat on the end just to get a little color on it,
yes,
and crisp it up just a little bit, but you're not cooking it over that high heat.
Right.
Right? You're cooking it over no heat or very little.
And you're warming it slowly.
Right.
But if you have that smoke box, you're getting some smoky flavor in it,
yep,
and meat will absorb the smoke up to about 145 degrees.
Right.
After that, it's not absorbing. You're just piling it on the outside. And when your wife or your girlfriend or mom tells you that meat was too smoky, what they're really saying is you oversmoked it a bit.
Right.
Or they just don't like smoke.
Right. Well, and there's a lot of both going on there, because it is easy to oversmoke something, but there are a whole lot of people that just don't like the flavor. Me, I love it, but
and
not a lot of it, but I love it.
Then they flick a cigarette butt in your backyard.
Yeah. Well, a whole different kind of smoke in there. Yeah, but shrimp on the Barbie. A lot of people like that. They come, you know, make sure that you peel them. I was actually at a party once where they cooked the shrimp, skewered it, and put it on the grill and forgot to peel the shrimp. And,
so there was veined and everything.
Yeah, yeah, and it was like there was a plastic coating
on
the outside
of a shrimp.
You know
what Conrad likes on the grill?
What's that?
He likes him some squirrel.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, last week. Yeah, he was disappointed when Brad came last week and didn't bring it. Yeah, I know he was. But
still one of the best stories ever on this show.
But the shrimp on the Barbie, super easy. Peel them, devein them, and put two or three of them on a skewer. And these things cook quick, guys.
And you can get them frozen and do that, too.
Sure, yeah. They got to be thawed when you cook them. But, yes, any way you get your shrimp, And, you know, I would say any little fruit profile, you could baste them in something simple as orange juice, and they're good. You can buy like a marinade already
Pineapple's
made.
Really nice.
Yep, pineapple.
Pineapple and soy.
Yep.
Real nice combination.
Yep, exactly.
And then if you're buying the whole pineapple, like you can slice it up and you can marinate the pineapple and grill it the same way.
Right.
And if you do that, you can literally just take the skin off of it and leave that center in it.
Right.
And grill it with that center in it. And that's actually the healthiest part of the pineapple for you. It's got a tremendous ingredient that's like a cancer-fighting agent. But
or if you hollow it out, cut the pineapple from top to bottom, cut it in half, hollow out. You can use that as a serving tray. Really cool. Pull your shrimp off, take them off the skewers, put them right in there. The pineapple works as like a little bowl,
and you can hide your weed in it.
Yeah. Well, whatever. I didn't go there, but if you, that's what you want to do,
it's a Saturday Night Live routine.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's 20 years old.
Yeah. Right. I missed that. Completely missed it. But anyway. Yeah, so lots of things to do with shrimp on the grill. Real tasty if you like shrimp, and it's easy.
And you hit this earlier about the crostinis and whatever. I think the, you know, find your favorite baker. Who's your favorite?
Well, we've got, as a sponsor of the show, we've got Hall Street and Wealthy Street Bakeries.
I have not been there yet.
Oh, you got to go.
I know.
And they're open for like 6 in the morning till like 10 at night because they serve meals, too.
So you go to some place like that, and you get a nice either Italian or French or baguette or however you're going to do it. And then you slice them on a little bit of an angle and brush some of your favorite EVO on it and throw it on the grill. Right. That is such a nice idea. And that's what made me think of those dipping seasonings that they've got at Old World. And I'm telling you, that is just a treat and a half.
Yep.
So you've been listening to The Grilling Guys. Don't forget to go to our website. It's thegrillingguys.com.
Right.
Check it out. On the right-hand side, you'll see all of our sponsors. ThermoPen's got a tremendous deal right now. I'm getting emails from people who are buying them, thanking us for mentioning that. So want to send a shout out to all you folks that are actually taking our advice on that. And that's wonderful.
Yep.
We want our sponsors to be supported. Mike Lindell, MyPillow, he's got some great deals on all that stuff. Old World, just a ton of people on there. Schmoes, you know, support these people.
Right. Great people, been great partners of ours for a long time. But you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Get out in your backyard and fire up a grill. It is the season. Don't we have Father's Day tomorrow? Isn't that? So we didn't even mention that.
That's okay.
But anyway, get out there and create some grill envy in your neighborhood. We'll talk with you next week.
See ya.